Going through the car wash today. Chiefs crumble against Tinkler's men.
What the f*** happened here? Maritzburg 2, Kaiser Chiefs 1. I mean,
who do?
What is going on?
Who do?
Thabang Munare's latest wheels.
What is your favorite car if you could buy any car?
Ferrari 911.
Unbelievable.
Come on, Thabang.
And we get real about the Olympics.
If you look at the history that we have as South Africans with the Olympics, we've never actually done well.
No.
Tell us what you really think, Sean.
Have coffee.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hlangana Khona.
Good day and welcome to the Car Wash. This is episode 15. On today's show, Maritzburg, the hoodoo team, Kune versus Daniel Akpei. And who are we going to take to Tokyo? Is it July? It's July, I think.
Must be July.
Yeah, the
off-season.
Olympic Games.
Off-season.
That had such a role and then it was like, bam.
I know.
I am your host, Lou Paho. And of course, I am not alone in studio. I have the greatest goalkeeper of all time,
wow.
Sean Roberts.
I'll take that any day. Thank you. Why are you laughing, Tekka?
Nothing.
There we go.
How are you doing, Sean?
Yeah, I'm good, brother. Thank you.
And of course, the midfield general himself, Deko Modise.
What's up, Lou?
How you doing?
Fantastic, a classico, sir.
Let us dive on in. Sean, can you take us through some of the past PSL results?
Yes, the past results in the last few days. Stellenbosch with a massive victory against SuperSport United at home. Mamelodi Sundowns with a convincing win over Chip United, even though their head coach wasn't too impressed. Highlands Park, standard 2-0 victory over Bloem Celtic. Bidvest Wits, massive victory against Baraka FC away to give their title hopes some resurrection. Mm-hmm. Golden Arrows beating AmaZulu in the Durban Derby. AmaZulu in trouble big time. Polokwane 3, Cape Town City 2, Teko Modise. Not great.
Lord.
Not great.
Why are you saying me, though?
I just say it, bro. That's who I think of you as, Cape Town City.
Yeah, of course I am. I am. Not a good result for us.
Not a good result, eh?
No, especially against a team that actually is on the bottom of the log, where everybody bits and then we get there and then we play defensively. It's not a good sign at all.
No, I mean, Polokwane away is never an easy game, but the way they've been playing this season, you would have expected at least a point.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a team that we beat when we're playing at home, I think 5-3 of some sort. And that was, I think, the first time the coach was on the stands actually watching the team play live.
That's right, yeah.
And we had our assistant taking over on the day. So we played well. Actually, it was, I think, one of those games that we were very impressed, especially playing home.
Yeah.
I think we played well and then we won the game. Then after that, man, we started, of course, with the new coach implementing new styles and different personalities also on the pitch. But I thought, you know, the way Polokwane City has been playing all along, you know.
Should have been 3 points, yeah.
Exactly, like a draw. It's not even on the cards. And then we get there and then I look at the scoreline, halftime is 2-1. So I'm thinking probably my second half will come back better. But
story of Cape Town City's season, eh? Like a roller coaster. It's like everyone's bipolar. You're happy, you're sad, you're happy, you're sad.
Yeah, and then, this is a bad season. But I just hope that everything that has happened, you know, we'll take it and learn from it.
Yeah.
And
the only thing we can hope for.
Yeah.
Moving on. Very, I want to say, Black Leopard 0, Pirates 1. Big result for Pirates.
Yep.
I would say a little bit of luck involved there. We'll touch on that just now.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one, what the f*** happened here? Maritzburg 2, Kaiser Chiefs 1. I mean,
hoodoo.
What is going on?
Hoodoo.
This is what we need in the PSL. Simple Simon.
Yeah, before we dive into that, so you guys predicted big 3 wins over the weekend. So you all both predicted Sundowns, Chiefs and Pirates to win.
Mm.
So keeping it level.
Yeah, which is, look, we would never have predicted Maritzburg to beat Chiefs, and even when you're watching the first half, especially, Chiefs were all over them.
Yeah.
Predictable Chiefs were all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Eric Tenkler made a very good, I forget who he took off or made a substitution at halftime, which changed the game. But if you do not take your chances, guys, this is what can happen, especially in the PSL.
Yeah.
There's no ways Maritzburg should have come away 3 points. A lot of luck involved. Eric Tenkler said at the end of the game,
yeah,
luck was on their side. But this puts a big dent.
But also being naive, I think, as Kaizer Chiefs, you know, having the pressure of playing home, and wanting to win at all cost. I think they're in a position where they need to understand that they don't have to win every game, especially with the points that they have.
Yeah, but rather lose a bit best fits, rather lose or get a point against Pirates or the Sundowns, not against
Man. And I have to think, that those games coming up is getting in their heads a little bit. The fact that that's still coming.
It's precious, that's a good point. It's pressure.
And it's not easy. You know, it's always nicer to chase the one that is on top. But when you there at the top, so every game is a cup final for you, so you can't slip up. That's what I'm saying. Like now, the tactics needs to be very, very different, especially depending on what opponents you play. Mm-hmm. So with Kaizer Chiefs, they're always good on the road, fantastic on the road. But now when they're playing home, the expectations are playing Maritzburg, we need to be winning 3-0. But the reality is, that's not the case. Maritzburg is a team that is actually playing well. So sometimes you need to adjust to what the game is saying. If you have to defend as a team, defend as a team, irrespective of what position you are on the lock. So I think with that, if Kaizer Chiefs are going to go on into the remaining games the way that they did against Maritzburg, trust me, they're going to lose the league.
Yeah. I was watching that game. Nurkovic must be kicking himself. I think he had two or three good chances in that first
look,
half.
Take nothing away from Richard Ofori. We've spoken about him plenty on this show. Again, a man of a match performance. Definitely. Again, saving Maritzburg 3 points.
That's why he's on the wanted list.
Exactly.
Even Daruk pulled out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I appreciate what Middendorf said at the end. We win and we lose together as a team. We're our team. And I like that.
Yeah.
Look, they had 13 chances and 2 clear shots at goal the first half. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And Maritzburg had 2 attempts the whole match and won the game.
Yeah, that's what matters, Chief.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
If you remember, also in the cup game, also in the cup game, it was the same situation where Chiefs were dominating, and they started playing a high line. Mm. One counter attack, Musiya Mehdi killed them.
Child.
You know, it's one of those things. And
is it a lack of concentration, or is it just naivety, like you're saying?
I think it's being naive, and also maybe a disrespect to a certain level, to a team that you actually don't think that will beat you, because when you look at them and try and analyze them, you look at, but this team is not even creating any chances to score. So therefore, they won't change coming to this game. Not understanding that we know when a small team plays against a big team, as a coach, you don't have to motivate your players. You know that everybody's going to raise their games. And that's what Maritzburg actually, they're enjoying playing Kaizer Chiefs this season. Because of after what happened in the cup, you know, they feel like, you know what, we can still go on. And they've proven again that, you know what, we still can beat Kaizer Chiefs. You know, it's
which any team can, really.
Yeah, and I mean the league is cruel. You lose a game like that. You look at the log right now. Pirates is right behind them, and the way Pirates won their game was the luckiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, it's you can reverse it now. So you look at Wayne Sandilands. Again, a hell of a performance, just like Richard Ofori. I mean, one save that Wayne did first half, or second, I can't remember, to his left. I mean, it's just world class.
The header.
Oh man, reminded me of me.
Yeah,
please. Negro, please.
What's going on? Yeah, I don't understand. Massive result for Pirates. Black Leopards away. Surely one of the hardest games in the PSL for any team. I think it's 6 wins on the bounce. I think for Pirates, something like that.
Could be 7.
Yeah, and it's I mean, it's great. It's great to see.
Yeah.
But again, it turned around. Pirates got very lucky in that game. I think the Pirates players know that. And I think the Pirates coach knows that. And then going to the Sundowns win, Pitso expressing his frustration with the players.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a bizarre one. A very convincing win by Sundowns against Chippa.
Yeah. What a weird camp, thanks, man. Because even Temba Zwane was upset when he got substituted. Pitso spoke afterwards saying he wanted to play longer, get another goal. But Pitso was looking ahead to the Celtic match that's coming up. So it's weird, like the tension in that camp. I don't know if they're just
You've hit the nail on the head. It's tension, it's pressure.
Yeah.
It's out of Sundown's hands. You mustn't forget that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's Chiefs to lose. It's not for Sundowns to win, if you know what I mean. So the pressure is mounting across board.
Definitely. So we did a 10 quick fire questions. I got the boy Thabang Munare on the line. 10 quick fire questions is where we get your favorite PSL players on the line, put them on the spot, play that.
I'm Thabang Munare from Pitch vs. Pitch. These are my 10 quick fire questions.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you've played with?
Munib.
Munib Josephs.
Munib, yeah.
Who is the flashiest dresser that you have played with?
Manti Mohulu.
And who is the worst dressed that you have played with?
I'm sorry to say this. Gift Motupa.
Gift Motupa.
What is the worst mistake that you have ever made in a match?
I just made a mistake recently. Actually, we were playing against Sundowns, and my friend took a ball from me. Went on to assist.
Andile
Jali.
He's having quite the season himself as well.
Yeah.
Who is a teammate who thinks that he's funny but is actually not?
Bushim Kwanazi.
That was a quick answer. What is the best goal that you have ever scored in a match?
I was playing for FC AK. I scored a free kick by close to the halfway line.
Oof. Must have been a banger, that one.
Yeah, that was crazy. I'd never forget that.
What is your favorite car, if you could buy any car?
A Ferrari 911.
And then what is your favorite local food, favorite South African dish?
Putu and ngomazi.
Oh, wait. This one is very controversial on Twitter. Do you put sugar or no?
No, I don't. I don't put sugar on mine. I don't put sugar. Yeah.
And then last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination?
Ibiza.
Have you ever been?
Yeah. No, I haven't. That's where I want to go to.
Again.
Come on.
Again. Hasn't been. And also, car of the week specialist. I didn't see you react there. Ferrari 911.
Ferrari 911. Exactly. I'm trying to think if there's a car like that. Maybe it's new in the market.
Unbelievable.
Come on, Tabang.
Just a Porsche 911 combined right there. You know what I mean? But love that one. Tabang's a great dude.
It's beautiful. Thanks, Tabang.
And moving on, the Olympic team shortlist. I put shortlist in inverted commas because it's a 78-player shortlist.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Names include Bongani Zungu, Percy Tau, Temikosi Loch, Motiba, Temba Zwane. And so the final 22-man squad for the Games has to be announced on July 1st only. And it will only include 3 players over the age of 23. So one, I don't even know why they put this out there. And so we don't need to see this. Two, you have a great question.
Yeah, I mean, it's pointless, if you ask me. But it's cool we get to speak about it. Mm. The question is, I think I have my answer. But 3 players that are over age that you're allowed.
Yeah.
Which players would you choose?
I'll choose based on positions, actually.
Yeah.
Like probably maybe a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
A defender, probably a midfield or a striker.
Yeah, I agree. You know? That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll choose those positions. And for me to like Slua said, to see the list that's there, and it's ridiculous, actually.
Yeah.
And I think also what the coach is trying to do is trying to show the country that is very transparent. He's doing this so that everybody can know exactly what he's doing. But to be honest, it doesn't.
But having said that, a lot can change now. Between now and July. Yeah. Surely there could be more additions or people to come off.
But look at the numbers that are over age that are in this group.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many of them. You know, if you had 4 or 5, knowing for a fact that you need to choose 3, then it's better. But you have like the Julius Musiah, Mehdi, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then what are you trying to do? What are you trying to say to us?
Yeah.
Because choose more that are actually at the right age and then confuse us with your Temba Zwanis and all that stuff. But then again, you need to also understand that what is it that Temba Zwanis is going to give you that you're actually going to need on that on those games?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and then you look at, that's what I'm saying, like I'll choose based on positions.
Mm.
I need somebody that can actually score goals for me.
Yeah.
That is more mature, that is very calm in the box. I look for a goalkeeper that I know that will command at the back, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So now I don't think the coach exactly know what he wants to do.
Yeah, I agree. It's a big one. I mean, off the bat for me, the 3 that I would go off in terms of positions and probably experience, Ronwen Williams.
For sure.
I would have.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Thulani Shlatshwayo, I'll have. He's a leader. I think you need someone like that there. Yeah. And either Percy Tau or Temba Zwane up front. But that's just me.
Yeah. And I mean, what's interesting about this is Liverpool were in the news regarding a similar thing. They were like, do we allow Mohamed Salah to go to the games? Because remember, the clubs do have a say here. So he can put this shortlist out. But, you know, what if Amiens says, nah, we don't want Bongani Zungu going? Or Club Bruges say, nah, Percy Tau might get injured or something like that if he goes there. You know, why put this out before? And also, we have March. We have the AFCON qualifiers to see who performs
but also,
on the national
stage. But also, for a player to say, no thanks, I do not want to go to the Olympics, you've got to be out of your mind. This is a dream come true. So I understand what you're saying, but I cannot ever see that being an issue because, you know, besides the World Cup, the Olympics is the biggie.
Yeah.
Especially for an African player.
But also if you look at the history that we have as South Africans and with the Olympics as well, we've never actually done well.
No.
And then
tell us what you really think, Sean.
So now you look at that and you look at the selection that he wants to have. It's very confusing for me because Tembazwane is a great player. Make no mistake about it. Is he going to get us goals in the Olympics? The chances are no. He doesn't even score that much in the Bafana team. Now you look at the Presidao that's not even getting enough game time in his team. He might be an addition that you need, especially playing up front, you know. And he's still young, he's at speed, because, you know, you're going to play against young boys. So there's going to be pace there. So
of course.
You want somebody that can actually match them. And when you spoke about Roland as a goalkeeper, I think he should be number one goalkeeper in the country, you know, in the Bafana team. So those are the things that you actually look at first. And as a coach, those are things, if you decide to come out like this, I would say, as a coach, if I was in that position, I'd be like, guys, I haven't decided on which senior players that I want to take because I'm still speaking to the teams. So that maybe four, five, six guys that I'm speaking to and realize and see which one is actually excited to come through.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to select a player that actually doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, for instance, Temozone's schedule is very, very, very hectic, Chief.
Yeah.
You take him to Olympics, he's playing in the Bafana team, he's playing in Champions League, he's playing, you know, there's so much. And then you get there, he doesn't deliver, he failed.
Yeah.
He comes back, his confidence is gone. He's no longer the same Tembazwane that you... So you need players that actually come into that.
Yeah, you've got to manage that very carefully.
Of course. So the coach needs to find a balance into this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Definitely. Moving on, we have more changes in the AmaZulu camp.
Yeah, my favorite team at the moment.
Man, so one, Mabuti Kenya is gone. So he handed in his resignation.
Wow.
As assistant coach, and he's taking over. It's
TS Sporting.
TS Sporting, that's the one.
TS Galaxy.
TS Galaxy.
Sorry,
guys.
TS Galaxy.
All
thank you.
TS.
Yeah, I mean, it's a. I played with Mabuti at Ajax. Great character, hell of a player.
Yeah.
You know, and a great success story of one of the players who's transitioned from playing into coaching now. So for me, it's a pleasure to watch. Was it done the correct way? Could the timing been a little bit better? Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But to see him now as a head coach at a relatively okay team or bigger team is going to only promote him for the future. So fingers crossed he goes well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think for me, he's the certain thing that stands out for me for AmaZulu. I mean, here's a team that suspends five players after they lost.
Senior players,
mm-hmm. right? They suspend them without... labeling the reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this at that time, they're still trying to figure out what is it that they're going to say to the media. They end up saying they're underperforming. Now, lately, they're saying because of ill discipline, right? In the midst of all that, now, here's a coach that has been playing, Mabuti Kanyeza, that actually knows the culture of the players.
Correct.
You know?
And ex-player.
Yeah. He's got experience. So he brings the proper balance between the coach and the players.
Yes.
Right? And then he's the guy that actually resigns after a loss.
Yeah.
Right? And then in the midst of all that, here's the new captain, Mbata. Mbata says, with the decision that the team has taken, we need to support it as a team. So that on its own, he's saying he agrees whatever the team has done, which means he knows there's something deeper than what it is in the team. But then again, you're fighting relegation, you're fighting to save your...
Yeah.
You know, being in the PSL, there's a lot of money, Chief. If you lose and go to NFD, and with the chances, they won't be able to buy a team again.
No.
Because they've been in this situation before, but they still run the team like they're running Spaza Shop.
Yeah.
So now you can't be in the situation where you're fighting for your lives and people start resigning left and right, you're suspending people. You can't be cleaning the house at that time.
Yeah. So
now what you do is just make sure that everything is neat, you put everything into place until everything is sorted, you survive relegation, then you're like... five players, so senior players, you guys, here's your cleanse, boom, because you survived. Right now, you're disturbing the team more. Mabuti Kenya's resigning, more disturbance into the team. Now you bring, what is his name?
Ayanda Dlamini.
Ayanda Dlamini, he's been in a multi-choice DSK. So now he comes there, it's something new to him. It's 8-10 games to go.
Mm-hmm.
So now you want the players to actually start having respect on him.
Yeah.
he's not going to have any authority. He's not going to say anything.
It's bizarre, though. It's a good point, Seiko, but it's a team as big as AmaZulu, or the infrastructure they have, the sponsorships they have, the stadium they have, one of the best cities in the country. Why is it always going so badly for them?
Yeah.
They've got the budget.
Yeah.
You know, they've had the players, not necessarily had the coaches. Is it something, a managerial position, that's just something's not happening? Because we keep on talking about AmaZulu year after year after year, scraping relegation, relegated, buying another team.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to change?
And I mean, the supporters must also just be confused. Every time a news story comes out, it's bad news.
No. It's bad news. It's never great news. I think something needs to happen at the managerial position because they keep doing the same things. And if you realize also, like we've spoken about this on the previous shows, that all the small teams are actually running the teams the same way. Like, come end of new season, you guys sign 8-9 players. Out of those 8-9 players are players that were never playing in their own teams.
Yeah.
So they bring them, they don't play well. Halfway, you sign 4-6 again. So you end up signing a new team every season.
Yeah.
So there's no structure, there's no plan. So even if maybe there is a structure, if there is a plan, they need to follow through with it. Because now, if you need to understand as AmaZulu, you know, understand that what you mean to the community as well. And what is it that you want to achieve in 3-4 years down the line? You can't be every 2 seasons you're out, you're buying another team. You're wasting so much money that you can actually be building the team, you know, development structure, making proper so that you know that you don't have to go out.
That's the thing. There's no 5 to 10 year plan, is there?
There's nothing there. I think they're just relying on the money that they have, that they can do whatever they want, not realizing that guys, a football gods will come back and bite you in the ass. Exactly what is happening in Polokwane City, what happened at Leopards. It's not a new thing. It's something that has been coming, and because of how they treat the players as well. Look at AmaZulu, how they treat the players. You know, if you decide to suspend 5 players, let them know first. Don't come out in the media like, guys, suspending 5 players because of underperforming.
Yeah.
If you look at how many games Majora has played, Villa, how many games has played this season under a new coach. So what are you talking about in saying underperforming? You know, there's so many things. I know that we're going to get so much content when the season is done with these players. And it's just that I just hope that...
Right now.
Yeah. You know, it's just that I just want AmaZulu to survive because I know what it means to
I
Durban.
Agree.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree.
It's a team that has so much history.
I agree.
But they need to stop running the team the way they do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a tuck shop. There's not a truck. They need to run the team properly. They need to actually copy what all the big teams and
copy
and
paste.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's it.
I
could
agree.
Use all that money you're trying to spend on players. Maybe tie Bongi Ntuli to a better contract.
Yeah,
you know, exactly.
These days. Exactly.
It's time for pole position. Pole position.
You've missed the joke of the day.
Oh, sorry. We skipped over the joke of the day.
Wow, Slew today.
Wow. Slew dog. Wow. You see what I'm saying? It's like I don't even exist.
Son. No respect.
It's like I don't even exist.
God damn.
My time to shine.
Maybe I was secretly trying to avoid it. I don't know. Self-consciously.
My time to shine.
Brace yourself.
It better be good, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's pressure on you.
Is there a build-up to it?
It's a pressure.
I'll give it to you again.
There we go. Are we ready?
I'm not.
Which football team uses the most toilet paper? Arsenal.
I knew it. I knew it the second you said it. I knew it. I knew it. I was like, toilet paper, it's Arsenal.
Gotta be Arsenal.
It's gotta be Arsenal. I remember when people used to make fun of me for supporting them, they used to call them Arse Anal.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Just right. Like you do.
Re-up. Pole position. Pole position. Pole position is where we ask on Facebook of our fans their opinion on a certain topic. And we asked you guys, should Itumeleng Nkune make his return to the Kaizer Chiefs starting 11, especially after Akbay's miserable time against Maritzburg United? Here's what you had to say.
I'm an Orlando Pirates fan. So once they bring Nkune, who doesn't have form, then they lost the league.
We started this season very powerful because of him while Itumeleng Nkune was not around. So as a true fan of Kaizer Chiefs, I suggest and advise that Akpei must be on the first 11.
Itumeleng Nkune must return to the starting lineup. The problem here is the coach. The coach wants to prove a point that he can win the league without Nkune.
Itumeleng Nkune should get a chance, you know.
About Daniel Akpei, I think we shouldn't have waited for him to make a mistake before benching. We've seen so many things. If you do know football, the guy likes the goalkeeping basics. Now that Kune is back, he must go back straight to the starting lineup.
The goalkeeping department is under fire. Daniel is being let down by his defenders. They're not organized.
I don't think it's the right time for Ntumeleng Khune to return back to the starting position.
So, one thing that we didn't touch on when we spoke about the Maritzburg Chiefs game is Akpei's mistakes in that match. He had a couple shocking ones, one that directly led to a goal.
Yeah.
And it brought up the question, Kune's fit again, does he return?
It's such a big conversation. You know, I've been there and my first instinct is no, you stick with Akpei. That's my first answer to that.
Yeah.
It was a very bad mistake. If it happens again, then yes, for sure. I believe so. I think he's been instrumental over the past 10, 15 games in getting Chiefs where they are. He did make a few errors when he first arrived. So you're like, oof, a little bit shaky, a little bit nervy. Mm. Like, what have we done? But he cemented his spot. This is no disrespect to Itu. Itu is a world-class keeper. We know that.
Yep.
Unfortunately, being a goalkeeper, it comes with its own territory in terms of being patient, losing your spot, fighting for your spot. And it has only been back 2-3 weeks. So I can speak for days on this. My initial instinct is give Daniel another 2-3 games.
Mm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, it's just that it comes out like it is actually supporting Akpe. Maybe I'm reading this out of context. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, taking nothing away from it, doing what he means to Kaizer Chiefs and what he has achieved as well.
Mm.
But now here comes the boy that made a mistake, and looking at where the team is and looking at the games that actually saved the team to be where they are, like Sean has said. Now you come to point where he actually makes a mistake. Now there's a whole lot of halabahoo about Itu coming back. So here's what Itu's saying. I think it boils down to confidence. The more I keep working hard at training, the more I will convince the coaches that I deserve to be back in the team.
Mm.
I deserve to be back in the team.
Mm.
That line on its own, it's you're not supporting your fellow goalkeeper. You know, instead of coming out, because you must understand you're a leader. You're the captain of the team. Mm. This just happened. You know, there's this fire. You need to put it out. You need to say that, guys, he made a mistake. We need to back him up. People do make mistakes. Goalkeepers does make mistakes. Those were the things that you speak about. You can't be saying, like, I need to convince the coach that I do deserve
what you're saying, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like, it's not about you.
Mm.
So now he makes it about him now. And that's my problem.
Mm.
Like, we all make mistakes. It's just that Kaizer Chiefs fans, they prefer losing a game with Itu in the post than preferring losing a game with somebody else.
Yeah.
And not actually looking at the performance of the person. They're not looking at the performance at all because we don't like you. We don't like your personality. We just don't like you as a person. Yeah, that's it.
And they forget that Akpei has a couple Player of the Month awards for Chiefs.
How many Man of the Match awards that he have? Mm. He also has a Player of the Month.
Yeah.
And this is the guy that actually has been doing very, very well. But also within the season, you can go back to all the good goalkeepers within the league. Dennis Onyango, for instance.
Plenty mistakes this year.
Plenty mistakes, yeah. But he's still the top goalkeeper in the country.
Mm.
Not even in the country, in the continent itself.
Yeah.
But if you're a smart coach, you look at the situation, you don't get emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You see what's right. Like Sean has said, Itu just back for 2 weeks.
Mm.
So the fans think Itu is ready just because it's on the bench.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So now what will happen now if he puts Itu in and then they still lose the game?
Mm.
Maybe Itu doesn't make a mistake, but they do lose the game. Mm. What's going to happen then? So you know what's going to say to the coach, which means everything that the supporters are saying, the coach should be doing.
Yeah.
And the coach has been winning games, irrespective of what the supporters have been saying. The supporters have felt like, yeah, Chiefs is back. And then once Chiefs are in the lead, they're very comfortable.
Mm.
The same fans, they come back and say, but we're not playing attractive football. Chief, choose what you want.
Yeah.
You know, choose
your
poison. Make up your mind what you want. You're 5 years, 4 years without winning anything.
Yeah.
Now you're on the verge of winning something and very, very stylishly so.
Mm.
You still want to complain.
Yeah.
Come on, Chief. This is not a Black Label Cup where it's just two teams and then you can win it and that's it.
Yeah.
I think as a Chiefs fan, they need to understand what's the bigger picture here.
Correct. Mm.
You know, and I think they fail to understand that because there's a goalkeeper that is playing week in, week out, but they can't brag about him because he's not a likable person. I think that's what South Africans are. Like, if they don't like you,
it's all about the brand. It's all about the persona.
Yeah, irrespective of how you play. If they don't like you, they just don't like you. They start having perception about you, like, ah, that's why he thinks is that. But because they don't like you. Because E2 is that friendly guy, yeah, whatever the case may be. But guys, realistically speaking, how many games has Akpe played this season and where is Kaizer Chiefs? If E2 was coming back and Kaizer Chiefs was doing bad, I mean, really. Now you understand. We're in a different situation now. Yeah. So I think, like you said, I think the coach should be smart, and I am hoping that he is smart, and I think he is smart.
I agree.
So he needs to let that play. Irrespective of what the noise.
Yeah, and I mean, adding on to what you guys are saying about Itu being this likable guy and that creating this perception with the fans that he should be back. I mean, I'm on Twitter every day, and Itu is very involved on Twitter. Every single day he posts a picture of him saving the ball. You know what I mean? And so it creates this perception that, because Daniel isn't as active on social media, so he's not connecting with fans as much.
I think Middendorp will back himself. I think Middendorp will keep Daniel for the next couple of games. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
And he's shown that as well. Middendorp backs himself, even with this Shangasi debacle as well, with what's going on.
Yeah.
It's in the Siaga Boza this week, they've said that Middendorp doesn't see a future for Shangasi, but with the Kaizer Chiefs camp do. And it'll be interesting to see what happens if Middendorp gets his way.
Yeah.
Because I think they've still got a year option on Shangasi.
They have a year option. And this is an interesting situation. He signed 2 years ago. Fans actually genuinely like Shangasi. So he declined a loan move to Black Leopards and he chose to fight for his place instead. Chiefs have a 1 year option on him. Whether they use it or not kind of depends on whether they stick with Middendorp after whether he's, you know, Middendorp is their long-term
correct. That's a good
guy.
Point.
And so that becomes an interesting situation. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on this, but I would exercise the option just because he's still 26.
Yeah.
He's valuable. They signed him for 3 million rand.
Yeah.
And it's under Middendorp that he's struggled. Previous, under... Who's a Compella. Eros coach now?
Steve Compella.
He was he liked him, and so
Salinas didn't like him. Salinas felt that he didn't defend enough.
Mm-hmm.
Middendorp, I think, shares the same sentiment, but also feels that his passing doesn't get anywhere. He's a good player. He's very flamboyant, but that's not going to win you games. So that's where Salinas and Middendorp stand. Yes, he's only 26, but if I don't know if it's going to work in his favor or not if Chiefs take up the option.
The one thing that we have to remember here is also if the transfer ban is held up, Chiefs can't replace him immediately. And they have the potential of CAF Champions League football next season, which is just adding to their schedule.
If the ban is held up, if the ban goes through, they have to keep him.
They have to keep him.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. But other than that, like with what the coach is saying, I understand and I see how they play. And I don't see Shangasi fitting into the system because of the way Kaizer Chiefs are playing. Mm. And you're right. I think he's a good pass of the ball, but to where?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know?
Is he creative enough?
He's not. And being in the position that he plays, he should be. Especially playing for a Kaizer Chiefs where you're surrounded by quality players.
Mm.
You should be creating enough chances for your team to score. And I think also it comes back to the point where we spoke about, like, in South Africa, we don't look at the numbers.
Mm.
We look at the numbers. How many games have you played? How many assists have you done?
Correct.
Especially in the position that you play. And those stats actually should be the one that determines whether you should be staying or going.
Correct, yeah.
I don't think he's got great stats at Kaizer Chiefs to actually, for Kaizer Chiefs, they're like, okay, let's extend.
He's hardly featured, yeah.
Yeah, so but now the Kaizer Chiefs, they always want to have that player that the fans like.
Yes.
Like, you know, fans that will come and blow their vuvuzelas and what. But at the end of the day, guys, what matters most is winning trophies.
Correct.
That's when the sponsors are renewing
the
contracts.
He is a fan favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a fan favorite.
He's a big fan favorite. But like you say, that's not going to win you games.
It's not winning anybody.
The uncertainty of George Manuleka still, who hasn't signed his extension.
Mm.
So that all comes to play.
Yeah. But I think George is smart. He needs to milk this thing. He needs to get into the position where he's in the driving seat, where he actually negotiates the best package that he can.
Mm.
Because I think Kaizer Chiefs can pay him if no disrespect to Karma, if they can give what they gave into Karma to somebody else that is local, that would be great.
Because
I always said, like I always believed, and this has got nothing to do with Karma Billet, I always said that in South Africa, we respect foreigners more than our local players. We think that local players are not supposed to get a certain amount of money because we know the story from Khayelitsha, we know you. But when you're foreign coming to South Africa, we give you whatever that you want. So I think George should, not that you should hold the team into ransom, but he should be getting the best that he can in the deal itself. So I think it's a smart move for him. It's very smart.
Definitely. Get that money.
Get that big.
Another guy who could potentially see a big increase or a shock exit, Happy Jelle. I don't see him leaving, but I mean, he's been
there since 2006, I think.
Yeah, since 2006.
I found him there.
You found him there.
I found and I left him there.
He's still there.
He's still there and he's still playing, dude. So if Happy needs to bounce, where is he going to go? Like, he's a Orlando Pirates guy. Like,
but do you think it's more of him bouncing or the fact that Pirates want to keep him? Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's Happy wanting to leave.
I don't think Happy wanted to leave. I don't think Happy wants to leave. And I think it'll be unfair to actually let him go, especially after, you know, he served so much.
Yeah, there needs to be a sense of loyalty there.
Yeah, but we all know that football in South Africa is no such. Yeah, but it'll be great to see if Happy renews contract and all that stuff. So we want to have this kind of stories where you have a player that played for one team only.
Yeah, man.
You know, we have your Steven Gerrard, you know, we've got your Lionel Messi. Mm-hmm. We need to have a South African story like that. Yeah. So
do we have one?
Kune.
Itu.
Yeah, Itu, Itu's been there since when?
Yeah.
He might do a Brian Baloy though, and vamos.
Can you imagine?
But with Itu also, it's a little bit tricky because he wanted to leave at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with Happy, never wanted to leave. Yeah. Itu wanted to leave. Wanted to come to Sundowns at some point. Wanted ridiculous money.
Gerrard never. You could never see Gerrard.
Gerrard never. Yeah. He had offers for days. Yeah. Never.
I remember there was always rumors he'd go to Madrid.
Never.
Or what's it?
Never.
There was AC Milan and then they just beat AC Milan.
Yeah. And not that maybe at Liverpool he was the biggest any guy, but it just that, you know, his heart was there. He was happy there. Mm. This is dream and all that stuff. So that's why I'm saying that with Itu and Jelle, it's a different story because Happy never wanted to leave at some point. You know, Itu always wanted to do this and then the move doesn't go through. Then he's forced to stay in because whatever the case might be. So I just hope that with Happy, he's a professional, you know, and I just hope that the deal comes through for him. Yeah. And
definitely. Let's look at this week in football history. On the 20th of February 2011, Deportivo La Coruña earned a draw against Almeria thanks to the first La Liga goal scored by a goalkeeper in open play. He scored a last-minute header from a corner and it was the last touch of the match. And on the 19th of February 1910, Liverpool spoiled the debut of Manchester United's new stadium, winning there by 4-3. The stadium was originally called United Football Ground. They renamed it Old Trafford in 1936. Back then, it cost about £60,000 adjusted for inflation. I'm sure that's a crazy amount today still. It opened with a capacity of 80,000. And that means this week marks the 110th anniversary of the first match at Old Trafford. And then lastly, sticking with Man United, on the 21st of February 1974, George Best, recently retired from Manchester United at the time, was arrested on charges of burglary and theft. He was dating the reigning Miss World at the time, and he stole her fur coat, some jewelry of hers, and about £20 worth of alcohol.
Wow.
So that's what you call a
success.
The dangers of booze, hey?
Yeah, George Best, every story about that dude, apart like off the pitch, is always ridiculous to me.
It's legendary.
They don't make him like
He's
him
He's got
anymore.
A couple of great quotes, which I can't think of him, but I'll think
but
of
there's, it. There's plenty of guys, actually, that in that era that were crazy as well. If you fast forward a little bit, Paul Gascoigne also was crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like in England, I think there's always that player that on the pitch is amazing.
Roy Keane, Duncan Ferguson.
There's a lot. And you get away with it because they understand the passion that you have on the game. So I don't think when you take it back to South Africa, we can't handle personalities. We always want to find ways how to get rid of them because we can't handle them. Not understand. That's why I always say that if Zlatan was a South African, he will never play in the league. Nobody will coach him because they'll be like, no, he's arrogant. He's uncoachable. Yeah. Not understanding that he's bringing in the results. Zlatan will score today and go to the media and tell them that, don't tell me about the coach.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm the one who brings results in here.
I remember when he went to the MLS and he was balling out there. But obviously in the MLS, there's Carlos Vela, who's amazing.
Yeah.
And so they started comparing him and he was like, I didn't win all those Champions League trophies to be compared to Carlos Vela.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. He knows who he is. Brilliant. And with such personalities in South Africa, we can't handle. And also we South Africans, okay, maybe we brought up in a different culture where you can't be, you have to be, you know, humble and all that stuff. But guys, if you know what you are, speak, my friend.
Yes.
If you think that you're the greatest of all time, say it. Like Shauna said, he's the greatest goalkeeper of all time.
Thank you, bro.
In fives.
It's obvious. In not fives. Even in twos.
That's great. I think South African footballers, they're scared to speak about how they feel and who they are. So it is what it is, man.
It is what it is. And moving on, do we have some players abroad?
Nice music there, sir.
Thank you, Simon. That's pretty cool. Right, this week, or last week, I should say, Kurt Abrahams, Tom Barkhuizen, Ayanda Potosi, and Hendrik Ekstein all started and scored for their respective teams. Danny Amos, Bongani Zungu, George Matlau, Keanu Bakos, Maheli Mabuza, Sergio Marakis, Thabo Tele, Keith Groenewald all started for their respective teams. And Ricardo Nunes started on the bench but came on, Keegan Jacobs, Cabo Mahelo, Cody Sang, Lebo Matibo, and Percy Tau. And I think, who was it that played against PSG?
Bongani Zungu.
Bongani Zungu, yeah. Isn't that just...
Yeah, it's great. What is the score?
It was 4-4.
4-4?
Yeah, 4-0, boy.
Yeah.
It went all, they went all in.
Hell of a player.
That's dope.
I mean... to walk out against and play against PSG.
Must be just, and with the kind of PSG players that they have, and play that well. Yeah. So I think Bongani is doing great things for himself. I just hope that Keegan will bounce back and start doing some things.
Yes,
man.
Sir.
Yeah,
man. Billy,
yeah.
We need your kicks.
We need all of that. Staying in the international news. This time, the serious music actually... it actually is a very serious story.
I'm my international.
Am I going to intro this?
You can. It's your team, man.
I'm going to intro this. Right. Manchester City, Teko Madise.
What's happening with Manchester
City? UEFA banned Man City from playing in the Champions League for the next two seasons and handing them a 30 million euro fine. UEFA feels that Man City breached UEFA fair play rules by inflating their sponsorship revenue and furthermore did not cooperate fully with the investigation. This is a massive story to hit the headlines, with massive ramifications for its club, its board, its players, and its manager.
Dude.
Right. What the f***?
Right?
Dude.
When this story broke, I thought at first that like someone had faked it, because it came out late. Like it was like close to the evening. I'm sure late afternoon for England. But what's remarkable about this is we still have Man City in this Champions League season right now.
Correct.
So, you know, they haven't done amazing in the Champions League. But what if they win? They can't defend their trophy. And then,
weird.
Like, also, the fifth position in England is a Champions League spot. Is that how it goes?
Manchester United.
Right. Yeah.
Getting there.
Leicester City.
Down.
I just want to point something out quick. The 30 million euros is not actually that much, but in the Soccer La Duma, they did a few calculations on what the estimated loss of sponsorship and revenue would be to not be in the Champions League for that long. And that amount comes to 276 million euros, which would be 25% of the club's revenue.
Oh, man.
Which is a much bigger figure.
Losing a quarter of your guap, man.
But, I mean, you would have thought that we've moved on from stuff like this at this level. Do you know what I mean? In 2014, they were caught up in a similar scandal and they were fined 80 million euros for something similar. So UEFA's obviously got a lot of beef with Man City.
Yeah.
Hence slapping them with a two-year ban straight off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is cheating, guys.
Yeah.
This is cheating.
Like inflating figures. The second you get into that territory, it becomes about, because financial fair play, UEFA is trying really hard to get these teams in line, because a lot of teams have breached this. Chelsea has, PSG has, Barcelona has.
Juventus did.
You know, Juventus did. They got relegated even.
Yeah.
And there was rumors that City might get relegated, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you don't know. So the question is, Tex, what happens with Pep?
Dude.
So he's got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
If the ban is still 2 years, I can't see Pep staying. If the ban is 1 year, I can see Pep possibly running its course and then reevaluating. Understand that Pep last won the Champions League in 2011. That means that if he does stick it out for another season, it's going to be 10 years since one of the greatest managers to ever walk this earth has won the Champions League.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And that's not good for his CV.
It's not good for the CV. If you turn that around though, so you Pep now, you've done all this in your career and you look at what's happened. You think, you Man City, you've tainted now what I've done.
Yeah.
And he's done a great job at Man City. Don't get me wrong. Obviously he hasn't won the Champions League, but they've tainted him, even though it's not his fault.
Yeah.
So do you be loyal? Or do you say, F*** you, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous. Similar to the players, what do you do?
Yeah.
I think Pep will bounce. I think irrespective of what the outcome will be with the UEFA thing, even if they do appeal. Because if you look at it, like now he starts coming out and saying if he doesn't win the Champions League this time around, he's definitely sure that he's going to get fired. So it's actually planting that seed that, guys, if I don't win Champions League here, there's no point for me to stay around.
Right.
So it's just that it's unfortunate now that with the case, of course, it's going to be appealed in whatever the case might be. But also you look at the players that they have, that they sign long-term deals. Like you've got your Raheem Sterling.
De Bruyne is 26, 27 years old.
Yeah. And they want to win the Champions League. They want to compete against the best. Of course. So now it becomes no longer a Pep thing also with the players as well. The players will go to the management and be like, guys, we are burned for this for 2 years.
Yeah.
There is no way that we cannot play in this big, big and stage. It's for
interesting
2 years.
Point. Do you think there's something in their contracts for
of
players?
Course,
release
of course.
Clause.
Like a release clause. Yeah, but I mean, you would never think there's a clause of saying, oh, well, if we get extradited from the Champions League. I mean, so I wonder how that's
going to... But I'm sure there is some kind of a clause.
Yeah, they'll actually have clauses that say if we don't play in Champions League, then we get a release.
Yeah, so well, I don't think it'll be to that extent. It might be if they get relegated,
definitely.
Which could possibly happen, yeah. I reckon. But I don't think there'll be a clause saying if you don't play Champions League, you get released, because that's up to the players, I would imagine.
Yeah, like, but the players will actually go to the management and be like, guys...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're a De Bruyne, if you're a Sterling, when you're 25, 26, it's different with Buffon when it happened with Juventus. Yeah. I think he was 34, 35 already.
Yeah.
And he said, right, I'm going to stick by you guys because I owe you. I've been with you my whole career.
Yeah, that's where loyalty is.
Yeah, that's where the loyalty is. But in this instance, I can't see the agents and the players being loyal to criminality.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what this
is. They can't. But what's interesting as well is look at what Puma is doing. So I said, nearly said Pogba. Puma. Now they just signed this deal with them that is costing so much money for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then now you caught up in the situation that you might not be in the Champions League for 2 years, and that's where the money is. So now as a sponsor as well.
No, you pull out. Like, I'll tell you why, because that's exactly how they've got the sponsor, because they were inflating what the club was actually worth.
Yeah.
So now Puma's come along with whatever it is, billions and billions and hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
So it'll be very interesting to see, because it doesn't only affect the fact that the teams are playing in Champions League, but there's so many factors that comes with it. Like Simon has said, money side as well. The players probably maybe thinking of leaving the team now, Pep being unstable at his job, the fans as well, you know, maybe thinking that we might be relegated to, imagine Man City being relegated to Championship, my friend, when they play long balls.
Bruh.
You know, you imagine your best players, your Myers playing there. I mean, it's amazing. And then you find Hernandez. Who's that guy that plays for Liverpool, the captain?
And Henderson.
Yeah, that thing. So you find Henderson playing in the APL, and all the great stuff. Your Gundogan playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I think when it comes to that, I think UEFA also need to look at the other way as well. Like, I think players as well, they're overvalued, if there's such a word. Like, you find your 22-year-old, 21-year-old Mbappe, now is 105 million, you know, to sign him. 105, guys. When Ronaldo was 99 million, I think, something like that, he had how many goals? He had a Ballon d'Or. You understand what I'm saying? So I think now we're just going with who has the best hairstyle, who has the most speed, who is more popular, and based on that. And also, he's a top goal scorer. Make no mistake, he's a quality player. He's a top goal scorer, but way.
Mm-hmm.
in France where they're playing
with
guys that are actually...
it's just getting out of control.
Yeah, because in France, you're playing against guys that are actually doctors. They're just playing football at their spare time.
Yeah.
They come there over Farmers the weekend league. Because the league is pub.
Yeah.
So now you're saying this guy should win Ballon d'Or when you're playing in a pub league.
Yeah.
You're saying this guy's worth 105 million when he's a top goal scorer in a NFD.
Yeah. Mm.
So now that's why I'm saying, like, also UEFA needs to look at those type of things. Like, guys, this is you can't overvalue this player. Like, for instance, who's this boy Sancho that's playing in Bundesliga and that's playing?
Yeah,
he's not even worth that much. Mm. He's 22. Yeah. Probably has like 10, 15 goals.
Yeah.
How do we get to 105, guys?
No,
when one of the greatest players of all time, he was 99 million.
So you're saying not only should we look at overvaluing or inflating club figures, but also
players as well. Because now it's ridiculous. It's getting out of hand.
But you can imagine the Man City players playing in the second division earning £300,000-£400,000 a week.
Yeah.
Because that's in their contract.
Yep.
They
have to pay them.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
Interesting times ahead.
And a question for another day, by the way, is, are the titles that Man City won in that period where they were inflating figures, are they illegitimate now?
Well, sure, that's a good question. But that's why I'm saying...
shouldn't be like Olympics where you...
Yeah, but
just revoke.
But that's why I'm saying it goes back to Pep Guardiola and it's going to taint his image.
Yeah.
That's what
Pep is. But Pep is going to bounce though because like you're right, Pep is going to bounce because he bounced in teams where there was no reason for him to leave. Mm. So now he has a reason to leave.
Yep.
He left Bayern with no reason to leave. Okay, he didn't win Champions League. He lost twice in the final and then he left. He left Messi there with problems. And then he's here, he's facing another problems. So, he needs to bounce. I mean, we would love to see Pep Guardiola in the final of the Champions League someday with you and Klopp, you know, facing each other.
Yeah.
And probably maybe in a different league.
Yeah,
I agree.
And in Barcelona, we need him still. So
time will tell, Teko Madise.
Yes, sir.
Time will tell. Moving on. I had Gerald Pirri Jr. for my starter pack. He had some funny answers. Here's one of them.
My first professional coach.
Franco Ndawa. He was a retired soldier. So it was really difficult because he brought in that army mentality. And when I really started, I went for like 8 games without playing. He kept on dropping me. And then I'd go home to my dad and mom and say, nah, I've stopped playing. I'm not going back there next week and stuff like that. But I'd end up going. But yeah, he really made it tough for me. And I think it's helped me a lot ever since then because I've gone to teams and I haven't played for a couple of games. And then I started playing. So I really know how to handle it now.
Sounds like the kind of guy for whom shots on target is a key stat.
Yeah.
Well done, Simon.
I love that, though. I mean, the idea of like an army general, like those training drills must have been intense.
You don't want to know.
Damn.
you, like I've been coached by stupid coaches that I won't name. You don't want to know. Like, don't make you run, chief. Like,
it's crazy,
where you can't even sweat anymore.
It's crazy.
You'll be like, I'm still dry, chief.
Still
like,
the hands are dry from last night.
I don't know what you're talking about. But also he's from Malawi. I think Malawi, Zimbabwe, and Zambia as well, they do have those kind of coaches that are in the military. And I think most players as well. Yeah. And I think also with the players as well. I think I remember Cuthbert Masechile telling me that he's a general in the army as well. I'm like, it's weird when you look at all this type of thing. Like, a general is playing football and I'm coached by a guy that actually handles a rifle every day.
Dude,
it can't be good.
When he threatens you, it's real.
There's no way it can be good. There's no way he's clued up with tactics.
No.
There's no way, guys.
Oh, he has tactics, just guerrilla tactics.
Yeah, okay, not football tactics.
All right, guys, so we're going to ambush the defense. All right, let's take a look at some upcoming games. Nedbank Cup returns this weekend. We have a couple big ones. Let's go through your predictions, gents.
Yes.
Highlands Park versus Kaizer Chiefs, Mamelodi Sundowns versus the great Vaal University of Technology.
Greatest of all time.
You know it. And Bidvest Wits versus Sean's favorite Chipper United.
Right. I'm going to start with the obvious. I'm going for a Sundowns convincing win at home. I'm going for a Bidvest Wits convincing win against Chipper at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Highlands Park and Chiefs one's a bit tricky.
Yep.
Highlands Park at home, also quite a predictable team, same as Chiefs. Yo.
Toughies.
Yo. I'm going for a Chiefs win. They have to win.
Chiefs have to win.
Yeah. I'm going for a Chiefs win.
For the confidence.
Check out what he said.
Because on that fixture as well, Owen Dagama said, the fixture is from God.
I saw that.
From Jesus.
Hallelujah. So he clearly feels very confident of the fixture, and he clearly thinks that maybe it might be the game that actually will turn fortunes around for the team.
Yeah.
But honestly, I wouldn't want to see Allianz Park in any final anymore.
I'm over them.
Yeah, no, I'm over them. Not taking anything away from them, but I don't think they play any interesting football. No. I don't think watching Highlands Park, no kid will actually learn anything from that game. That's it, period. I said it. Yes, yeah. I said it.
So the same three for three.
Same. We wanna watch interesting games, man. You wanna watch an interesting final, you know?
Yeah, definitely. EPL upcoming games, actually quite the banger of a weekend. Mm. Starting with, I think, the smallest game, Manchester United versus Watford. Mm. And then we have Chelsea versus Tottenham. Mm-hmm. Leicester versus Manchester City. Mm. Huge ones. Thoughts, my gents?
Big ones. Let's get through this quickly though. I'm going for a United win coming off a good result of Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I'm going for a Man City win because they're going to be fired up. They're going to be pissed off. Away to Leicester, a convincing Man City win. And I'm going for a Chelsea-Tottenham draw.
Tottenham needs to win. Mm. The way they play, they deserve to win. I think I like how they attack, you know.
And it's Mourinho against Chelsea. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yep. So it'll be very interesting. I think that's one game that I actually sit down and actually watch.
Yeah.
With Manchester City has hurt me enough this season. So even if they lose, it's fine. No, I'm hurt, so I'm okay. Like with the standard that they.
So, are you going for a Leicester win?
Yeah, in that pocket there, Vardy. Vardy disappears 89th minute, 1 minute to go, 1-0, and then Vardy's finished. Ah, guys,
even James Maddison is.
You know, so
you've gone Tottenham, you've gone Leicester, and you've gone
United.
So okay, interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. And now. We're gonna switch things up. This is a new feature. We have two guests, and we are going to walk through the valley of the job shadow of death. And they have some.
As I walk through the valley of job death,
I like that too.
Exactly. We have Leiden and Federico, and they have some questions for the two goats in studio. I will calmly sit back.
Federico.
Take center stage and introduce
yourself. It's Federico.
Yourselves.
Federico. From Italia.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like Doritos. Doritos.
Grazie mille.
Grazie.
So, my name is Leiden, and I have two questions for both Teco and Sean.
Yeah.
And my first one for Teco is many athletes compare themselves differently on the field and off the field.
Yeah.
So, how would you describe yourself when you're on? And when you step off the field.
Jesus.
Wow.
Jeez, really?
Dude, I was just expecting black questions. What do you do when you wake up? Where do you sleep? In my bedroom, of course. Wow. I think one, what I used to do was, like on the pitch, I'll be this, I have a winning mentality. I always wanted to win. So my arrogance will kick in because I believed that I was better than any opponent that I was facing. And therefore, I always wanted to help my teammates to actually feel the same way. But sometimes saying those type of things doesn't help. So I need to perform in that standard in that way to show that actually this is the game that we need to win. I sometimes remind them that you're actually better than him. Because especially when that's the only challenge that I had when actually moving to a smaller team like Cape Town City, when you play against the big teams, you get intimidated very quickly. You know, you see the team arriving in the bars with nice tricks, so you start getting intimidated because I know that was on the other side. I know we used to intimidate teams like that. But off the pitch, I'm just a normal, regular guy. You know, Sean, don't start. I'm just a normal, regular guy that is very complex yet easy. Let me explain why.
This was supposed to be a short answer.
Yeah, there's no short answers with me. Off the pitch, I'm not a footballer. Nothing of me resembles a football. I don't have that mentality off the pitch. Actually, I'm more very calm and I listen a lot off the pitch. Like I'm like a sponge. Is it a sponge?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
You observe.
Yeah, I'm very observant.
The silent
and and I'm assessing. Very analytic. So that's me. Those are the two personalities that I have on and off the pitch. For you, Sean? They said the
is
question
aimed at me as well.
Yeah.
He said for both.
Okay. It's a different question.
Oh yeah, I got a different question.
Oh.
So for you, Sean, was there ever a moment when you felt defeated and wanted to give up? And what did you do to keep going?
Wow. I like this boy.
That's a very good question. Absolutely, yes. I think if... I've got the perfect answer, actually. So in 2008, I signed for Ajax. And in 2009, I had a double knee op, both knees. And I was out for 2 years. And I honestly felt that the way I was playing in 2008, I had an opportunity to get in the... Not necessarily... Definitely in the World Cup training squad and possibly in the final 25 or however big the squad was. And I had a double knee op and I was out for 2 years and I just thought my whole life was crumbling. Ajax wanted to pay me out and I said, that's not going to happen. And then I started seeing a life coach or a sports psychologist and she said to me, imagine the story you'll be able to tell if you bounce back from this. And that's what pushed me. And I bounced back. We played Chiefs, I think, 3 games back to back. I got 3 man of the matches. We lost in the MTN 8 semi-final. And after that, I actually got a Bafana call-up where actually we traveled to Niger together. I remember Teko. And so that was when I felt defeated. And I managed to get myself out of that by imagine telling the story of overcoming this. And now I've got that to tell going forward to anyone. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, so my name is Federico, and I'm the Italian guy. So from Odise.
Yeah.
Put us in your mind of the moments leading up to your best career goal.
Best career goal. I've got a few, eh?
Just one, Teko.
Just one. I need to choose one. I think one was... the one that comes to mind right now is when Orlando Stadium was open. We had our first game playing against, what was Maritzburg at the time? It was Maritzburg United or something like that. There was a team
I'll
in
think
Durban.
Of it.
Yeah. So we were playing a game there, our first game. And I'm from the national team. We played on a Wednesday. We played Mandela Challenge against Cameroon. I scored 2 goals. We had a penalty. I thought Benny would take it. Benny allowed me to take it. And I missed the penalty. I should have had a hat trick.
Manning Rangers?
No, it's not Manning Rangers.
Sorry.
No. Chief. and then with that confidence that I had during that week, coming into opening Orlando Stadium for the first time, and with so many fans that are on the game, and especially after Senzo Mehiwa made a mistake trying to control the ball, went back in the back of the net. So we had to come back, and everybody was looking at me to come back. Like I scored the free kick, the most awkward position ever. And I never thought that I would. But yeah, man, I think that one, what it meant to Orlando Pirates at the time, what it meant in us opening that stadium, the way that we did, it was unbelievable. Mm. So yeah, the confidence that I had from the national team, I had to take it to the to Orlando Pirates at the time.
Now for you, Sean. So playing in England is a massive achievement. And is it very different to playing in South Africa?
Yeah, it is. It's chalk and cheese, really. I think it's probably my only regret I have in life is leaving England when I did. I left because I was injured. I came back for a girl. Ridiculous, but anyway, I did.
The love story.
But yeah, no, it's it was where I was at my happiest. It was where I played my best football. But everything, life turns out the way it's supposed to be, I guess. I met my wife here. I'm sitting here with you guys talking football. And that might not have happened if I did stay there. But to play in Europe and at the level I did there, which was great, it was, and I was still quite young, it was amazing. And I had a good career here in South Africa. And I felt if I didn't have that career in England, I wouldn't have had the career I did in South Africa as well. So very different. I know football is religion here as well, but there it is just...
something else.
It's something else, yeah. But very grateful for the opportunity I got there. And very grateful to be sitting here as well. So, but yeah, it was very different. Both are special in their own way.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Leiden and Federico. Those were great questions.
Wow. Yeah, great questions.
Wow.
Solid ones. They should do big interview for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do a car of the week. Oh, sorry. Vavavoom. The Vavavoom.
Simon, where'd you get this, bro? It's amazing.
The internet is a fantastic place.
Yeah, buddy.
Car of the week. We go to old Keegan Ritchie. Ex-Bafana, yeah. Current Bafana left back, now sort of playing central midfield as well. Versatile player for Bidvest Fits. He's got a Ford Ranger 2.2 litre. I'm not too sure if you've seen the Ford Ranger lately, but it looks super dope, as Teko likes saying, dope.
Dope.
Certainly a much better looking Bucky than anything else on the road. Possibly not the best performer, but again, certainly the best looking. One of the few 4x4s that have premium touches on the interior. Usually associated with the Ford's passenger car. Rated second highest 4x4 in terms of performance, only second to the Hilux, which has really monopolized the space over the years. Starting at a modest 307,000 Rand for the entry level, moving all the way up to 820,000 Rand for all the bells and whistles.
Damn, so it's the second best you mentioned.
I think, terms of performance.
I think, you know, the guys at Ford, they want that number one spot, man. And I'm thinking they might need some motivation.
Before we go there, though, short, I have to ask, who's paying you to do these readouts? Because they're getting super specific.
They're cool, eh? Very specific. I'm trying to sell the space, guys. Come on. It's not bad. Motivational quote of the day, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going down into the GLAD Africa Championship to a gentleman called Tony Zwane, left back for Richards Bay. Very good player. Have a look at him. And he said, the meaning of life is to give life a meaning.
That's what he said.
I like it.
That's what he said.
When you say that's what he said, I'm saying it's what he quoted. Is it his quotes? I highly doubt it, but it looks cool.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony Zwane.
you saying he's playing for
Richards Bay?
Oh, okay.
He was at Stellenbosch last season, and he is a product of the Mamelodi Sundowns youth development.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that is how we wrap up episode 15 of The Car Wash. I'm going to finish on another fun fact. This isn't really a fun fact so much as just an interesting statement about one of the greatest players of all time. Some of you might remember Malcolm signing for Barcelona a couple years back, and then they let him go to a Russian team. He's come out in the media and he said, and I find this interesting, he said that Lionel Messi's amazing play masks a lot of the deep-rooted problems that Barcelona have, tactically speaking and structurally speaking.
Wow.
And I think I agree. Without Messi, what happens? What must can happen?
Yeah. Time will tell.
Time will tell. But that is how we wrap it up. Thank you to Teko and Sean and Leiden and Federico and my boy Simon. We got six bodies in studio, and it is time to get the air conditioning back on, please.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.